Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
If you're a fan of luncheon meat or Taiwanese-style sausages, there's a good chance you might have come across the products from this next company, OTS Holdings. Now, they're the owner of heritage brand Golden Bridge, and they went public in Singapore, the Singapore stock market, early last month. According to the company, one of its earliest hit products is the EXO Special Lean Wax Sausages. Until today, it's actually one of its most iconic products. Now, apart from the Golden Bridge brand, the company owns five other brands under its umbrella. It ended its first day of trading on the Catalyst board at 29 cents, up by 26% or 6 cents above IPO price of 23 cents. As of Friday, July the 2nd, OTS last closed at 33 cents. So let's find out more about OTS and what else they're cooking up. On the line this morning is To Kiam Hui, Group Financial Controller for OTS Holdings. Mr. To, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, very excited about this conversation. The brand OTS founded in 1993. You guys sell both non-halal and halal products under six house brands. I mentioned Golden Bridge earlier. Could you tell us more about the other five and your key customers?
Okay. I mean, as you know, the company started all the way back since 1993. And along the way, we have come up with a lot of different products, especially according to what the market is looking for. Besides having Golden Witch, which is the first brand that we have, the company also has under its belt Aldina and Kiss Me, which is under the halal product. For the non-halal, we also have Orchid, Kelly's, as well as Golden Lion. For our main retail brand is Golden Bridge, as well as Kelly for the non-halal product. And for the halal side, we have Aldina. So for food service, which is more price-sensitive customer, we have brands like GV, Golden Lion, Orchid, as well as Kiss Me for halal.
Mr. To, interesting. Could we talk a little bit about the market share in Southeast Asia? I mean, which is the biggest market for OTS?
Currently, we are already very established in West Malaysia, and immediately for the company is to focus on East Malaysia. Next, immediately, we will be venturing into Philippines with population of at least 100 million, and the meat demand will be reaching about 17.2 billion in 2024. And we see a huge potential for the company venturing into Philippines.
Right. I mean, who doesn't love luncheon meat, right? Okay, a little bit more about that later. But let's talk money now. I mean, revenue growth over the past few years. In terms of the last three financial years, what can you share with us in terms of how OTS has done, I don't know, profits, any numbers that you could share?
I think at least, as you can see from the offer document, there's a steady increase of about 10% revenue growth for the last 3 years or the period under review, with a strong 30% from FY19 to FY20. And that is in line with the group regional expansion, with our revenue coming from Malaysia increasing significantly. And with that, gross profit margin also increased. Because our business, besides being a brand builder, fundamentally, we also produce the product. And in running factory, you need to have basic minimum of, we call it, production capacity. So with the sales surging, and obviously with volume production output increase, we are able to capitalize on that.
Okay.
Meaning,
okay,
profit margin will increase with that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you helped set the context, because, I mean, what I wanted to dive into as well, obviously with one of your largest markets being Malaysia, their situation in terms of coping with the COVID-19 pandemic isn't the best. You've got Malaysians who are starving and putting white flags in front of their houses and whatnot. What does this do for OTS? I mean, there's so many aspects to look at: supply chain issues, the demand for your products, or how do you expect to navigate this particular situation?
I think demand is still strong despite that exercise. Of course, business is always competitive, and it will be especially challenging during this period of time. Yes, there is publication that there is such starvation, or people are really having a hard time.
Yeah.
But what we see is still the minority.
Okay.
And I think that the demand currently, even now, is still strong. But of course, you have to be mindful the market conditions. And we have to have more access on our credit control. I think that is what the company is constantly doing. And of course, as I mentioned, you know, Western Malaysia, our distribution network has been quite established with long-term working relationship with our customer, despite it's B2B. I think we are pretty comfortable, but of course, we have to be more mindful moving forward, especially on the credit terms and credit limit, etc.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, the decision to list during a pandemic, how did you guys come about that decision?
In fact, the group has seen 4 years ago, sometime in 2015.
Okay.
We already have a plan. That was why OTUS was established. 1993 was Golden Bridge Manufacturing. It is the subsidiary that has since operated for near to 30 years. But we have a vision to go listing. In fact, the group had did the restructuring back in 2015 with OTS being the holding companies and things being properly structured. Yeah, we are prepared, basically. And in fact, this pandemic has sort of slowed down on our expansion growth, especially when the request to stockpile kicks in sometime early 2020 at the start of the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah, and that actually took out a lot of capacity from our Singapore production. And actually, for about good 4 months, we did not have the product to support our Malaysia expansion.
Yeah, that must have been quite challenging.
It's also a global
issue at the same time, right?
Yeah, but as I said, we are still strong business in Singapore, and we believe that we need to contribute to national interest. That's why we say, fine, we will in some way also support the government initiative. We will fulfill whatever required on our island. Mm-hmm. Before we look elsewhere. Yeah.
And, you know, things seem to be going pretty good. Stock price up quite positively since the IPO. Your reaction to the response?
I think we are thankful for the support that we have been receiving. And what the company can do is still carry on doing what we do best, manage our multi-product, multi-brand portfolio, focus on food safety, making sure public confidence further enhanced through our LISCO image. And I think that's what we're going to do. Of course, on a longer term, we'll be looking at further expansions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are, to be fair, these are also trusted brands, brands that we're quite familiar with when we go to the store, right? Let's talk a little bit about plans with these IPO proceeds and what's in the pipeline.
Okay, the net proceeds that the company is about 6.5 million, and we're going to put 2.5 into our Philippine expansion, and we're going to put aside 2 million for our new equipment. Why is it critically important in terms of new equipment? We are further automating our production process so that we can cut down on our reliance on manual worker, which is proved even more challenging in today's situation when borders are closed.
Yeah.
And we're putting aside about 0.5 million on our R&D. We believe a way to grow our Singapore revenue, which is, you know, Singapore is limited population. There is only so much that we can do. But in a company, we must have the innovation to come up with new product that the market needs, the market wants. We are looking at producing more customized products for restaurant, quick service restaurant especially, especially on the halal side.
Right.
And we are investing on our R&D as well.
Okay.
And because we need that capability to work with our customer. Like, for example, back in last year, about the same time last year, we have a collaboration with KFC.
Oh, okay.
Produce their frosty crunch chicken. The frost that is used on the crunch chicken is product of a company.
Right. Well, that's something new we learned. What about the plant-based so-called sector? You know, a lot of people going to a more sustainable way of eating in that sense. You guys looking into this area, considering you're doing quite a bit of R&D?
Definitely, yes. This is next that I'm going to address on the R&D side.
Okay.
Currently, we're also doing a lot of work. I mean, at least right now, we are like 60-70% near to our finished product, planning to launch early next year. And I think there is a niche to our product in terms of currently what you found in the market are mostly frozen or chill form. But being a company that is able to produce a shelf-stable product, we want to mix such plant-based product to be shelf-stable as well, meaning to say that it's typically, from a layman point, canned food.
Right. Right.
And you can really just buy from any convenience store, open it up and consume it.
We want
to add that convenience to that product.
It's interesting you bring up the convenient way of eating plant-based food, you know, canned plant-based food in that sense. Just very quickly, I mean, with regard to this plant-based food so-called sector within the food industry, I mean, are we really at the tip of the iceberg? Is there so much more potential for this trend, in your opinion?
Oh, definitely. I mean, looking at sustainable food products, this is definitely the way to go. But of course, at the start, you'll be challenging a lot of R&D and resources being deployed. But I think we need to focus on this as well. So meaning to say that we are also, I mean, we are expecting the price to be, of course, we are not compare a plant-based product with my luncheon meat real pork product, because I think it's not fair to compare it that way.
Yeah.
But in generally, our pricing for such plant-based product will be benchmarked against similar product in the market, meaning to say that they're frozen and chilled. And with that in mind, of course, R&D playing a huge part in trying to be cost-effective. At this point in time, we're still seeing our product very competitive, despite that we are even giving more to the consumer in terms that it is a shelf-saver as well as it's a ready-to-eat product.
And surely we will see a lot of price fluctuation and stabilization when that time comes. Toh Kiam Hui, Group Financial Controller, OTS Holdings, on the line with me. Mr. Toh, appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe. Yeah,
my pleasure. Cheers, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.